Okay, we're talking about understanding people so you can kind of get along with them. We mentioned last week there are two things that form human nature, who we are. There are the inward heart that Jesus talked about, and then there is the outward act that flows out of the heart. And so the inward heart expresses itself by the things we do. As I said last week, you came in here, you did something, you're doing something here, you're looking a certain way, you're not looking a certain way, you're doing all sorts of things. But I can't judge what's in your heart by your outward acts. You may be smiling, you may not be smiling. You may be friendly, you may not be friendly. You may do this, you may do that. I have no idea what's in your heart. I cannot judge in your heart what you do outwardly, unless it's just some overt act. And always controversy occurs when outward acts attach themselves to something concrete from which conflict arises. It always comes from outward. Something that happens. People could get upset because you smiled, you didn't smile. There's all sorts of things, but it always manifests itself in some way. Tonight, we're going to look at Abraham. I thought I was going to review all of them, but I'm not. I think it's easier to go through each one. Genesis 13:5 says, "And Lot also, which went with Abram, had flocks and herds and tents, and the land was not able to bear them, that they might dwell together. For their substance was great, so that they could not dwell together. And there was a strife between the herdmen of Abram's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle. And the Canaanite and Perizzite dwelt in the land." They had too much flock and not enough land. And so I say the land is what created the controversy. If there'd been no problem with land or not enough flocks, they wouldn't have had a problem. Everything would have been all right. It was the land that triggered it. Now, something much deeper is going on than just the land, but that's what triggered it. Controversies and things happen because of outward things, and there's something much, much deeper than that. What was the motivation behind the problem? Well, first of all, they had a vested interest in their employment. This is their livelihood. This is what they do. They tend to their master's flock, Lot and Abram. This is their life. This is their livelihood, their job. And so the Bible says the land was not able to bear them, that they might dwell together, for their substance was great, so they could not dwell together. That was what behind it. I mean, this is my life. This is my vested interest. I'm working. If we don't have enough land, I don't have a job. I don't have the means to live life. You know, if you have a job and all of a sudden the business moves next door and begins to take all the business away, oh my, you're not going to be happy because you have a vested interest in that employment. There was a strife between the herdmen of Abram's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle. Okay. It also could have been sin of greed that motivated Lot, or neglect of spiritual things that motivated him. "And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of the Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord." Could have been a sin in Lot's life. Greed, or "I want the best for me." He lifted up his eyes, and he probably means that he lusted. He wanted more. He wanted the best. And because he didn't pay attention, Lot chose for him all the plain of the Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated from one another. But Abraham dwelt in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelt his in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent towards Sodom. But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. It was neglect of anything spiritual. Hey, I don't care. I mean, I want what I want, and if it don't matter, we get near Sodom and Gomorrah, and you know what happened to Lot because of that decision. Could have been sin. But it don't matter. Don't matter. I'm just showing you some things it could have been. It doesn't matter what's in anybody's heart. You don't know what's in someone. You may, well, I think their motive is so-and-so, and I think the reason they're doing it is because they have. No, you don't know. Those are some things. So the truth is, what did Abraham do? What did he do to solve this problem? First of all, he had a genuine desire for there to be peace and no conflict between them. He says, and Abram said unto Lot, let there be no strife. Please, let's not have any strife, I pray thee, between me and thee and between my herdmen and thy herdmen, for we be brethren. If you're going to get along, there must be a desire to want to get along. And if you don't want to get along, then you're not going to get along. That's just pure and simple. There must be a desire to want to have peace. Please, let's solve whatever problem we have. That's the first thing. What steps did Abraham take? He first had a genuine desire for peace. Let there be no strife. Secondly, he had a genuine desire for peace between the two people, Abraham and Lot. He said, please, let's be at peace between one another. But it went further than that. He said, between me and thee. And then he said, he wanted a genuine desire that peace, not strife, will be between other people who are involved. He didn't just say, me and you, Lot, but he said, between my herdmen and thy herdmen. Please, let's not have this problem. Let's solve this problem. Let's work it out. I don't want anything between me and you, and I don't want it to spill over into everybody else. Some people aren't like that. They just soon bust the whole place up. But if you're going to have peace and harmony, you got to be with someone who wants it, who desires it. And the reason is we are family, for we be brethren. Got a problem in the church? I don't care. I don't really care. Well, that's not the way to act. This is our home. This is our family. This is our church family. This is our human family. Let's please, if we can, let's work this out. That's the first thing, is to want to. If you don't want to, then nothing's going to happen. Second thing, Abraham gave up his rights and basically let Lot have his way. He said this, is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, then I will go the right. Or if thou depart to the right hand, then I will go to the left. You know what he did? He gave up his rights to have his way, and he let Lot have his way. He said, listen, now, Abraham was senior. Lot went with Abraham. Abraham didn't go with Lot. He had every right in the world to say, Lot, you're going that way and I'm going this way because I'm the head of this whole thing. And he had every right to do that, but that's not what he did. He said, listen, I'll give up my rights. You want to go this way? I'll go the other way. You want to go that way? I'll go this way. That's very important. Very important. You got to be willing to give up your rights for what you want. And then Abraham removed the outward issue that created the conflict, which was the land. Pure and simple. He simply said, let's have peace. You go this way, I'll go this way. Then the land will no longer be a problem because you'll have plenty of land and I'll have plenty of land. I want you to catch that. He removed the outward thing that was the source of conflict by giving up his rights and letting the other person have basically their way. But he had to humble himself and not get his way. But God blessed him providentially by showing him all the land he would have for him and his descendants. If you watch it, Lot chose his way and wound up getting in trouble, and Abraham had to deliver him once. And then God had to deliver him from Sodom and Gomorrah. But Abraham just trusted God and said, I'll trust God to take care of me and you have your way, basically. And God, when he got through, said, listen, look at all this land I'm going to give you. What a great blessing. You got to remove the outward issue that causes the problem. How do you determine? Why are you not working here? How do you determine this course of action? How do you determine that? Well, it's very simple. You do not have to judge a person's heart or motive. I wonder why they're doing that. I wonder what's going on. I wonder what the problem is. You don't have to know that. Here's all you need to know. You determine what is important to another person, even if it's not you. That's all you need to know. I don't have to know your motive. I don't have to know what your problem is. All I need to know is you're upset because this land is important to you, and so therefore we'll solve it by I'll let you pick which way you want to go. If you love a person, what is important to them should be important to you. Now, if you don't love the person, then it's not important. Now, remember my illustrations? The lady in the church I was in, and she had a plaque. And there was a plaque. It was a kind of a cardboard thing, and they had little names of in memory of and in honor of. Preacher came in and said something, want to remove the plaque. She got so mad, she ran him off. When I came to the church, and they told me that story, and I'll tell you why she got so mad in a couple of weeks. I'll tell you why. It wasn't just that, but it was something else. You know what I did? Nothing. I never said nothing about the plaque. I never mentioned the plaque. I never talked about the plaque. And to my knowledge, no one ever said anything about me other than the one said the preacher got mad. And that plaque just stood right up there the whole time. And I never had 1 ounce of problems between that lady. And she was a pretty contentious lady. I didn't have any problem with her. You know why? I didn't do anything about the plaque. I didn't do a single thing about the plaque. Remember my story of Deanne and the cream corn? You know, instead of doing the cream corn and scraping it off the cob, she just poured cream over it. That's the way they do it in Iowa. It's good stuff. So when Deanne asked me, well, how was the cream corn? Now, Deanne was not asking me what was my critique of the ingredients in that corn. Well, husband, what do you think of the ingredient? That's not why she was asking that. She didn't really want to even know if I thought it was good. You know what she's asking for? Because it was important to her. She's moved away from Iowa down to the backwoods of South Georgia. We're newly married. I got enough sense. When she asked me how's the cream corn, she's not asking me for my critique on it. She wants me to know and understand she's done this out of love. She was staying home. She wasn't working. She's worked hard. And you know what I said? It's good. And I wasn't lying. It was good. Fortunately, I didn't know how you made it anyway, so I was okay. When I first came here, there was a gentleman said, preacher, as a fella, the preacher wore shorts downtown Boston, and that is just not right, and he should not have done it. That's just wrong. You know what I did? Bet you can guess, can't you? I never wore shorts downtown Boston. Not one single time. Now, when I went to my ball games in Valdosta with the boys, I wore shorts when it was hot. But this person wasn't there, so it's no big deal. I said, preacher, you're manipulating. No. It was important to him. Why would I want to know what he told me and then deliberately wear shorts to antagonize him? Because I'm going to tell you something. If I want people mad at me, I want them mad for me for a legitimate reason, not because I wore shorts. So you know what I did? I didn't wear shorts. I didn't move the plaque. You know, if I came in here and I said, you know, look at those flowers. I would never say this, but if I said, I'm making it up. And I said, look at those flowers. I don't think we need flowers in the church anymore. You think everybody would be happy with that? No. Well, one, the person that put the flowers in there did it because it's important to them. And a lot of folks like to look at the beautiful flowers. It would be silly for me to do that. Do you know there are names on the windows right here? You may not know. There's names on the windows. Wouldn't it be silly if I came as pastor and said, you know, that dishonors God. I think we need to bust the window out and take the names down. That would be silly. There's nothing wrong with those names. You just give up what's the problem. How do you determine what is important and whether you should let it go? Well, if someone reacts negatively to what you say or do, you pretty well know you probably said something. When the preacher said, "We're going to move this plaque," and she got awful mad, he should have figured out, this plaque is important to that lady. I better not do that. You see, if someone reacts negatively, see, if I'd have said to Deanne, said, "Well, you know, you didn't make this, my mother doesn't make it this way." What? That would have been a real good thing to say. And what if I was sincere and really meant it? My mother does it a different way than you. It wouldn't have made any difference to say that. If someone reacts negative, you know, it's important. You come out the door tonight and say, "Preacher, that is the stupidest sermon I've ever heard in my life." Don't be surprised if I won't be a little irritated, because it's important to me. It's important to me. People will tell you what is important to them by their conversation. You ever sit down and talk to folks? I could pretty well tell you whatever, all the things you folks enjoy and you love, and you, people will tell you what's important to them. All you got to do is listen to them. And you don't have to judge their heart. You don't have to figure out what's in their heart, but you can go, "You know what? I didn't realize when we had that little flower thing over here, I don't know anything about flowers. I don't even know what this is. I don't know nothing, but I appreciate them." You know what I discovered? I didn't realize there were so many in our church that enjoyed flowers. Next time we have it, I'm going to pay closer attention. You know why? Because I love those people. And flowers are important to them, so it should be important to me. What people are doing is important to them. I love preaching. This is important to me. Do you know those folks back there are working with the children? They're sacrificing and they're doing a lot of good things you don't know about. And you know why they're doing it? You don't have to judge their motive. I wonder what their reason is. The reason is it's important to them. It's very important to them. And it's very important for people that do Sunday school teaching. It's very important for people that serve on a committee. Whatever people are doing, you can assume that's important to them. So there's no need for you and I to go criticize and say, "You know, this children program stinks." Well, why would you say that? Now, if there's some improvement that needs to be made, fine. But it's important to them. You may say, "Well, preacher, I didn't like your sermon tonight." You know how long I've been working on this sermon? 30 years. It is deeply important to me. Deeply important. And there are things important to you. If someone has a personal connection to something or someone, "Tim, I see your grandchild. He's kind of a stupid boy, isn't he?" You think that's going to upset me? You know why? That's my grandchild. I have a personal connection to him. Now, if you think he needs some correction, that's fine. And I'm just exaggerating things, but I hope you see the point. Whatever is important to people, then be careful and leave it alone. What if something is important to you? Well, you remember, the land was just as important to Abraham as it was to Lot. It was just as important to him as it was to Lot. But you know what Abraham did? But when the outward expression of something is neutral, not immoral or wrong or needs improvement, then do what Abraham did. Just let it go. Just let it go. That's not anything. That's them working with the fire truck out there. Abraham gave up his rights and let it go. He let it go. You know why sometimes if someone comes up to me and says, "You know, you got too much junk in that room there." You know what I'm going to do? "Well, who do you think you are?" No. You know what that person just told me? That's important. We don't have junk in the Lord's house. You know what I do about it? Let's get rid of the junk. Just that simple. Because people will tell you what's important to them. It's important to my wife in her teaching. It's important for me in my job. It's important. My children are important. And what they do, there are many things that are important to you. You don't have to judge the heart. You just need to observe what people consider important. Value what other people value and think is important. Everyone values and has something important to them that cannot be classified as a right or wrong. Wearing shorts downtown is not right or wrong. Having a plaque in front of the church is not right and wrong. Having flowers up here is not right and wrong. Having people's names on the thing is not right or wrong. There's a lot of things that are not right or wrong, but it's important to someone. You say, well, preacher, you're manipulating. No, you're not. If things are important to you, if I care about you, it ought to be important to me. That's just the simple truth. We must learn to appreciate others and what they do, even if it's not that important to us. I love college football. I bet you hadn't figured that out, have you? I love college football. And I can't wait for college football to come back. DN could care less about watching a game. But you know what DN does? When Saturday comes around, I get to watch college football. You know what she gets to do? I'm going to go shopping because she loves. Now, why are you going shopping again? Well, you know how much you love college football? Yeah. Well, I love shopping that much too. Oh, okay. I understand that. Well, you know, boy, we can't call the preacher. You know, Georgia's playing Alabama on Saturday. And, you know, we can't call the preacher on Saturday because we have a need. That's not true. You can call me anytime you want to. Even if I'm in the middle of Georgia and Alabama. You know why? Because your need takes precedence over my college football game. See, sometimes other people's needs take more importance over your needs. And I love college football, but I don't love it so much I'm not going to come to the hospital when you need me. You see, there's a value system that we need to learn. We need to learn to appreciate others. We do not have to fake it or manipulate. We just change our heart to appreciate the person. We just change our heart. You know what? I didn't realize that flowers are so beautiful. I didn't realize that it is nice to have a church that's neat. You know, I tell you what you are doing with the children, that is just wonderful. Boy, this Sunday school class is just great. You got to learn to appreciate what other people value. Now, I once again say, I'm not talking about if it's wrong. I'm not talking about if it needs improvement. But there's a lot of things that we say that are not really that important, but they are important to other people. And you don't have to judge their hearts. You just need to realize it's important. You do not have to determine the motive or attitude or anything in the heart of a person. You do not have to determine the motive or attitude. You just need to know what's important to that person. And once you understand what's important, then it should be important to you. There's a lot of things that go on. Now, remember my story about the two ladies, one here that wanted to, didn't think we should build a gymnasium. The other lady I run in that said we should build a gymnasium, that has nothing to do with this. That's an entirely different category. We say, well, that was important to them. No, that's an entirely different thing. Remember when people say, well, I disagree on styles of worship, or I disagree on styles of preacher, and I like this preacher and I don't like that preacher. Has nothing to do with this. Well, it's important to them. That's a whole different category. I'm talking about neutral things. Neutral things. That plaque was important to that lady, wasn't important to me, but I didn't move it. Wearing shorts downtown was important to this person, so I didn't. There's a lot of things that's important to my wife or someone else, and all you got to do is listen. You know what that means? Just being Christian. And loving people and appreciate them for who they are and what they do. Do you know if we were to take a survey here, just the crew we have tonight, if we were to take a survey, do you know how many things you enjoy and are important to you that are not important to other people? There'd be so many things that we could talk about. Well, learn to appreciate it. Learn to appreciate that. Den would not have appreciated it. I said, well, that corn don't taste like my mother. Well, okay. I didn't mean nothing by it. Why did that hurt her feelings? Because it was important to her. Important to her. My life is important to me. My ministry is important to me. My world's important to me. I love certain things. They're important to me. And if you just inadvertently just criticize that, don't be surprised if you won't hurt my feelings or I might hurt your feelings. Now, the good news, I'll get over it. I'll grow and I'll get over it. But the truth is, if it's neutral, humble yourself and let it go. Do you know that's what husbands and wives do? Paul, when he was first married, he was helping them because Paul's a doer. And he was folding the towels and helping them in the house. And the mother, it was at their house, the mother said, that's not the way we fold towels. Because we fold towels at our house differently than they fold a towel. You know what Paul did? I can give you three guesses. He folded the towels the way they do them. And the reason we fold towels, well, I don't even know why we fold towels that way, but that's the way we do it. There's a give and take. There's a give and take. Now, see, I've been married to Deanna long enough, and we're a little more secure, so if she cooks something I don't like, I don't have to say it nasty, but I'd say, you know, it was okay, but don't cook it again. It'll be okay because we've been married long enough, you know. But if I said, that's the nastiest taste and stuff, who in the world would ever cook something like that? That's a different story. When you come in here on Sunday, you watch. You watch what people are doing. And you know what you'll find out? You'll find out it's important to them. Now, I didn't mean, well, we can't fire the preacher. We can't fire the preacher because that's important to the preacher. No. I get out of line. You can fire me if you want to. That has nothing to do with this. That's a whole different category. I'm talking about the simplest thing. The rest of them get harder. This is the easiest thing to solve with people. If someone don't like something, don't do it. If someone likes something, then do it. Remember that lady I told you about? She got so mad that preacher run him off. You know what I did? And I did this genuinely. She was a contentious woman. Boy, she was. I don't think that's the only preacher she ever run on. But you know, I had a great relationship with her. You know why? She ran a business. She cooked for people all in the town. She had a business in her own home. And since I like to eat, I went down there and I started learning how you cook. Oh, you put that. Oh, you put. Now I was being genuine. I wasn't being fake, trying to butter her up. And no, I was being genuine. And you know that lady loved me, and we never had a bit of problem. Never had a bit of problem. Now that don't mean it don't work with everybody. And I wasn't making it up. I was being genuine. She really, really was a good cook. And she gave me free samples, and I liked eating them. That's all I did. Now, did you learn anything tonight? Maybe. Think about it. Let's pray. Father, we love you tonight, and we thank you for the teaching of your word, and we ask you to help us to be discerning. We don't have to judge people's hearts. We just need to appreciate what people are, what they do, and their positions in life and their things they are. And we don't have to make comments on it, and we don't have to criticize everything that goes on. Now, if it's something important, that's okay. But a lot of things are important to people. We just need to appreciate it. And help us to do that, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.